Good morning. Oh, wow. How good is this? This is lovely. Oh, it is such a treat to be here together. There's a long-standing Easter tradition that Christians throughout the centuries have celebrated, and is to a call and response. And if you come upon somebody and they say to you, "He is risen," a common response is, "He is risen indeed." So let's try that together. He is risen. Yes, indeed. So now, we are also going to be doing another fun kind of call and response throughout the service. Now, are there any kids in the room? Kids in the room, if you're here, make some noise. And you can use your noisemakers if you want. How many of you have been told, "Hey, we're in church, be quiet"? Not today. Not today. We are going to have a lot of fun. We're going to make some noise. For many of you, Easter Sunday is a long-standing tradition that you've experienced throughout your entire life. And for others, maybe this is a bit of a new experience. Either way, we are really glad you are here with us. For all of us at Lakeview, today marks the first time we are gathering in person to celebrate Resurrection Sunday for over 2 years, and that deserves a clap. We have been looking forward to this day for a very, very long time. Many of you have been tracking with us over the past few months as we've been kind of rediscovering our groove as a church. And for some of you, I imagine this is your first time back in this space in a very long time. Either way, we are truly glad you are here with us. We are going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ together this morning. We are going to sing. We are going to celebrate baptism. Friends from our community are going to read scripture for us. And we're going to make some noise and cheer and declare with hope that forever Christ is risen. He is alive. And so we're going to start our service with some scripture reading. And so Darlene and her grandson Logan are come out in a moment, and they're going to read for us. But before we do that, we're just going to begin with a land acknowledgement. Our church remains committed to the work of truth and reconciliation, and we take these opportunities in the kind of high parts of our calendar to acknowledge the broader story that we are a part of as followers of Jesus who worship here together in this particular location. So allow me to read before Darlene and Logan get us started. Respectfully, we recognize that we worship here together on the traditional lands of First Nations and Métis people. We acknowledge that the land we are on is in Treaty 6 territory.
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, when the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And then Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, they stood at a distance watching these things.
Forever he is risen, Jesus is alive.
Together, let's sing, let's stand together. Welcome here this morning.
Body on the cross, his blood poured out for us,
the weight of every curse upon him. One final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, a war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake. The storm was rolled away. His perfect love could not.
By profound truth across generations and across nations, this simple truth that he is risen, he is alive. So we just heard the readers say that, and Kurt has prompted us in that. That's going to be our motif this morning. That's the theme this morning. So whenever you hear those words declared from the stage, take your noisemaker, make some noise, clap your hands, lift your voice, shout. Let's lean into the celebration of Easter this morning. Can we do that together? Awesome. Let's praise God. Let's sing this bridge together.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome.
Every voice together, we sing.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome.
So we invite you to take a seat. You can be seated.
But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb. Taking the spices they had prepared, they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there, puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes.
The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day.
Forever he is risen, he is alive." Yay!
So Easter is our story, and it's a story of tension and release. We have the disappointment and despair of Good Friday contrasted with the triumph of Resurrection Sunday. This next song is to remind us that there is no resurrection without a grave. So if you can catch it, sing along.
Shame is a prison as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber, and he's come to take my name. But love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love is the power where my freedom song is found. There ain't no grave on a rise. death and life. And there on a tree, the Lamb of God was crucified. And he went down, down to hell, and he took back every key.
Stand together. And I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and the treasures that fade are never enough. You came along and put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love. 'Cause there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. The God of the mountain is the God of the valley, and there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again.
turned shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turned graves into gardens. You turned bones into armies. You turned seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can.
Hallelujah. Family, you can be seated. We're going to move into a time of baptism.
Hi, my name is Hans Varco. One of the main reasons why I want to get baptized is for all the losses I've had in my family in the past, and it really impacted my life. And I just feel like me getting baptized really helped with that, because people will be comforting me, and I will feel way closer to God when that day comes, because I feel like I trust him fully, because I do, and he'll trust me. So that's one of the main reasons why I want to get baptized. And the person that made me impact my life a lot on the Lord is my Nana in Texas. Whenever I see her, she always really helps me whenever I have hard times in my life. She always comforts me and helps me and tells me what to do and just talk with God. And it really helps me knowing that I have her in my life. And my mom also, she's also really good, because it just makes me feel really special knowing that other people in my life. And yeah, that's why I love both of them. My favorite verse is John 15:13. It is greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Hansen, do you love Jesus and his church?
Yes.
Will you turn from evil?
Yes.
Will you join God in the renewal of all things?
Yes.
Based on your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Let's stand again, let's celebrate.
His own resurrection.
believers in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. That's what we're celebrating today.
Could you see what I see? That the grave is empty. Then you know what I know. That anything is possible. If you see what I see. That his grave is empty. Then you know what I know. That anything is possible. You see what I see. Do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? I see signs and I see wonders.
Then they remembered that he had said this, so they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who had told the apostles what had happened.
But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened.
Forever he is risen. He is alive.
Can we stand? Let's sing this next song together.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. Oh, my failure. Yes, I tried to hide. It was my dream till I met you.
Thank you, Jesus.
You called my name and I ran out of that grave.
Thank you. can sing this together. I need a rescue. I needed a rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan, but you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open, 'cause when you call my name,
may be seated. The most important stories are the stories that we tell over and over. I have a story that I tell about each of my children's arrival into our family. Brennan, my oldest, was the cutest little monster baby. I still call him Monster Baby. When our daughter was born, the resident caught her, and the resident was a newbie at their job, and told me that I had just had a baby boy. The supervising doc corrected her quickly, and I suspect that that resident did not pass that rotation. When we picked up our adopted sons, I tried so hard not to cry, so that when I met them, they wouldn't think I was sad. But I caught a glimpse of the two of them through the door before it was our turn, and I saw Ketus's big eyes, and I started to bawl. I met them smiling as brightly as I could through tears. My children know these stories because I tell them over and over again. This weekend, we tell the story again of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And I wondered this week, is there anything new to say about the resurrection? Is there anything new to say about Easter? Or are we just telling the same story over and over again? Is this kind of like my kids hearing those stories again and being able to repeat the details back verbatim because they've heard them so many times? Is it time to stop telling the same old story and find a new one? But then again, every time I tell my children their story again, something new stands out. My kids see another detail that they didn't see before. Or they ask a question about something that I've never thought about, or I remember a detail that I'd forgotten in the past. And this was what it was like for me to read again the story of the resurrection in the Gospel of Luke this week. As I read it, new details and new perspective on this old story stood out to me. Let's listen to how Luke tells his part of the story. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph who went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. And then they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and on the Sabbath day they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. And while they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them, and the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." So here's the thing that stood out to me this week. Why are these women getting a lecture from the angels? I feel for these women. They stood at a distance watching at the cross. They saw the terrible death of Jesus. Then after Jesus died, they joined Joseph to bury Jesus. It says in this passage that they took careful note of how his body was laid in the tomb. So of course they came looking for Jesus among the dead. Jesus was dead. It seems to me that the women were looking in the exact right place for Jesus, the spot where any of us would have looked had we been in the same position. It turns out that where they were looking was also the right spot for resurrection. And so this is the next thing that stood out to me in this story. Resurrection is always a surprise. Even when the story has been told over and over again, it is always a surprise because it is found in a tomb. It is found at the place of death. Resurrection is not resuscitation. It's not a clear defib kind of situation. Resurrection is a totally new thing. Jesus is dead, and he comes back to life. And so, before you witness a resurrection, you witness death. In fact, the one thing required for resurrection is death. Here's another thing about this story. First century Jews did not believe that resurrection was something that just happened for one person. When resurrection happened, this meant that the whole world would experience newness, would experience resurrection. You don't just find one person resurrected and then the world just goes on as it did before. Finding an empty tomb was not simply a miracle for these women. It was a sign that something new was happening in the world. The resurrection isn't just a surprise ending for one person. It is instead the turning point for everything else. So you know what this means, right? Resurrection is a cosmic story. It is not just something that happened for Jesus. It is something that is happening for the whole world. Because Jesus is resurrected, the power of the resurrection is still bringing the dead to life. Amen. Maybe you were here with us on Friday, and you took a nail representing that thing, that person, that situation that you put on the cross with the crucified Christ. The thing about resurrection is first comes crucifixion. Before we see resurrection, we witness death. And resurrection is still happening. We go looking for a body, and surprise, instead, there's an angel telling us to stop looking for the living among the dead. We go looking for what is crucified, and instead, we find something alive. Now, I don't know when or how resurrection will happen in that thing that you crucified on Good Friday, in that story that you put up on the cross with Jesus, but I do know this. Resurrection is a cosmic story. It still happens, and it still comes as a surprise. As I invite the band back out, I'm going to close with the last words from this passage. Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and then he went home amazed at what had happened. My hope is that Jesus amazes you with his resurrection power this Easter season. May you find new hope, new details, new life in this story, the story that we tell over and over again, but the story that still has the potential to surprise us. Forever he is risen, he is alive.
There's joy in the house.
Amen. Amen. You can grab a seat. What a wonderful morning. What a wonderful service. This has been such a treat to do this together. We thank all of you for joining in, and we just want to maybe just take a moment. There's been so many hands that have gone into this entire weekend. So many people put in time. We had a kids' celebration yesterday. We had Good Friday. There's people behind the scenes in tech and obviously people on the stage. So why don't we give a round of applause, appreciation for everybody made all this possible. We recognize that for many of us, we're finding our way in the midst of life rhythms, and church community is one of those parts of life that many of us are still kind of finding their groove. And we just want you to know that if you have a desire to get more connected here in our church community, you are welcome. Lakeviewchurch.com/connect is a place where you can go to reach out to us and let us know that you'd like to be more involved in a part of things that are happening in the fabric of our community. One of the things that's really primary for us as a church is something that we call home church. It's one of the central expressions of who we are, and it's a chance for us to gather in smaller spaces where we can form deeper relationships with people from our church as we also grow closer with God. So if you are interested at all, if you've been hanging around Lakeview for a long time, or you've been just checking things out recently, we would love for you to know that there's an opportunity to find a place in a home church where you can get connected with others from our community. We also do invite you, if you'd like to give financially, we do appreciate your generosity. For those who consider Lakeview home, you can give in person at the give boxes, you can give at the info desk, you can text 84321, or you can give at lakeviewchurch.com/give. And then as we close, we do invite you to come back and join us. We will be wrapping up our teaching series in the Gospel of Luke next Sunday at 10:30 a.m. And then for our church, Sundays are where we get to pull everybody together. All of our home churches, all of our community, we get to gather as one and worship Jesus together. And we would love for you to be a part of that. As we finish off our service, you're welcome to hang around. There's cupcakes in the lobby, and the cafe should be open if you'd like to grab a coffee. And you're welcome to stay and hang out and participate with one another. And as we close, I'm just going to invite you to stand. And if you're new to our community, we end off our services with a bit of a send-off, a benediction. And it's very simple, and I'll just say it once for you. It just is. It's a call for us to love God, love others, and tell God's story. And I'm going to invite you, if you'd like to join your voices with mine, let's close off our service by declaring that together. Love God, love others, and tell God's story. If you'd like prayer, you can meet someone over to the side of the stage. Otherwise, have a great rest of your Easter weekend. Thank you for being here. Take care.